Now again tonight, it's nice to see everyone that's come, and we trust that you'll be blessed for being here. I want to read tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, and reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now that's all we want to read tonight, and we know that God blesses his word. You couldn't read through the New Testament and not be faced with the reality of the cross. You'll read it in the Gospels, the actual account of what happened that day. And if you read in John 19, I think you'll actually read about the cross four times. And then when you read through the epistles, where we have read from tonight, you will invariably come to the cross. It's there. It's stamped. It's real. And we have read about it tonight. And Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The reality of the cross in relation to you and I and for the world to come. You know, the cross that Paul speaks about, and you may ask the question, what does he really mean when he says the preaching of the cross? Well, we need to be clear that when he speaks there about the preaching of the cross, that he's not talking about the wood that it was made of. He's talking about the work that was done when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He's not talking about a symbol, but rather he's speaking about the whole significance of what happened that day that the Lord Jesus died. He's not talking about the material. He's speaking about the message. He's not talking about the design of it. He's speaking about the whole doctrine of the cross. And so, Paul says the preaching of the cross. That tells me here is something that's central. You know, it is true tonight that if we do not really preach in some way, in some measure, the cross, then maybe we don't really preach the gospel at all, because it is central to the whole message. You'll read many times where Paul refers to the cross, the preaching of the cross, as we have read here. In Philippians chapter 2, he speaks about the death of the cross. He says that the Lord Jesus, that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And there he's emphasizing the cruelty, the awful death that the Lord Jesus died for you and me there at Calvary. You know, someone has said that the person that died a death by crucifixion, that they died a thousand deaths. It was a cruel death. He not only speaks about the preaching of the cross, which is central to it all, and he refers and writes about the death of the cross, the cruelty of it, but he speaks about the blood of the cross. He says that he made peace, Colossians 1, through the blood of his cross. That tells me about the cost, the immense price that was paid to redeem us. You know, this evening, it was another writer who said, his name was Peter. He said that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of his cross, the cost. In Galatians, we read about the offense of the cross. And that's real, because there's a lot of people that still don't like the preaching of the cross. That's the consequences, the offense of the cross. And when Paul was writing about that, he was really referring, you see, there were those who didn't believe that a person could be saved solely through faith in Christ and what he did upon the cross, but there were those that taught that you had to keep the law and circumcision and feasts and all these things before a person could be in heaven. So they were really telling people that they could be saved by their works. But you know, when someone preaches the cross, they're really telling people that they can only be saved by the work of Christ. And that is an offense to some people, because, you know, at the root of nearly every religion, there is the idea of doing, of working to try and gain a better place in the next world. But the message of the cross is the message that declares that everything has been done, and God wants you to believe it. You know, human nature likes to do something, to try something. I remember quite a number of years ago, I was having meetings in the south of Ireland in County Monaghan. It was a little place called Drum, in County Monaghan, in the south of Ireland. And nearby there's a town called Coot Hill. I know you've never heard of it. But you know, when I was there in the meetings in the little hall, I got a bad cold and it went right into my chest. And the man that I was staying with, who's now with the Lord, who was a real character of all characters, he took me one morning into the town of Coot Hill to see the doctor. Now, it was a bit different because
you sat in the waiting room, and his name was Dr. Gollaher. And the way he worked was this, which was very unusual, that the people just gave him what they wanted to give him. He didn't actually charge them, but what they wanted to give, that was it. And so I waited till it was my turn. And I went in. And he was a tall, slim man, and he was leaning back, you know, on his chair, and he had his 2 feet up on the desk in front of him, crossed over like that, you know. And he took a look at me and he said, "Get on the scales." Well, I didn't come there to get on the scales. He said, "Get on the scales." And then he said, "You're 3 stones overweight." It's a good job I'm not on the scales tonight, for I'd be a lot more. And so he gave me a talking to about my weight. And then he finally got round to why I was there. Now you'll wonder why I'm telling this story, but I hope you'll get it at the end. After we were finished, the man with me, at that time it wasn't the euro, it was the punts or the green pound. And the man who was with me put his hand into his pocket and he took out some notes to give the doctor for his services. And the doctor said, "No," he says, "it might help me one day," he says, "when I meet Peter up there at the gates." You see, during the time he had discovered who I was and what I was doing, and he was thinking, you know, that will not take this money. It might help me to get in. Amazing, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of people working at that. There's a lot of people just think the very same way. Now, there's no harm in giving to charity. It's very commendable. But all the charity giving will not get you into heaven. And the reality is this tonight. The hardest thing that sometimes people are prepared to accept, that it's not what I do that will bring me to heaven. It's what Christ has done for me. The preaching of the cross. Now there's a few things tonight that I just want to mention quickly. You know, the preaching of the cross, it exposes man's guilt. It really does show the awfulness of sin. It shows the fact of how terrible a thing sin really is. It exposes man's guilt. The blight of sin. Sin that blights lives, sin that blinds, sin that bruises, and sadly sin, if unforgiven, will banish souls forever away from God. The cross, it exposes man's guilt. It shows us how awful a thing sin really must be when it took the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross to deal with sin. We mentioned it on another evening, didn't we? By the reality is this tonight, you know, that people may excuse sin. Governments may legalize sin. But it was because of sin that Christ died. It's not a little thing. It's not a small thing. Sometimes in the world in which we live, People say it doesn't matter and who cares and so what. The reality is this tonight, that the Lord Jesus was on that cross because of sin. The hymn writer said, "Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, and why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing tide, if in dying my debt has not paid?" The preaching of the cross, it exposes man's guilt. But it does something else. It expresses God's love. I want you to think about that. The greatest display of God's love is at the cross. May I listen tonight? How do I know that God really loves me? How do I know tonight that there's a Savior that really cares? Oh, the hymn writer said that he should care for me enough to die for me. My tonight in this meeting, I want you to know the most basic and yet the best news we could ever tell, that God really loves you. That there's a God who really cares, who gave a son to the death of that cross. It expresses God's love. When I was a little fellow at Sunday school, a good while ago now, I remember one Sunday morning, because the Sunday school in the little hall, the tin hall that I went to then in the countryside, was in the morning. And a preacher arrived. And you know what they do when a preacher arrives? Well, they got him to take the Sunday school. And I remember that he taught us a chorus. I'm sure you know it here as well. God is love. I feel it in the air around me. God is love, I see it in the heavens above me. God is love, all nature doth agree. But the greatest truth of his love to me is Calvary. So it is tonight. It expresses God's love. Love, you know, that's groundless. There was absolutely no reason why God should love us at all. The hymn writer said, "I wonder what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the full." The fact is this tonight. He loved us and there was no grounds for it. There was no reason for it. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy, that question was asked, why God did love them. And the only answer was this, that he loved me just because he loved me. You're here tonight. There's a God who loves you. You know, there's a lot of people, sadly, in this world who die unsaved. But there's nobody who dies unloved. There's people in the world tonight, and maybe by their fellow man they may be described as, some may be unloving, some may be unloved, and some may be described as unlovable. But God loves them all. Amazing thought, isn't it? It reaches out. It reaches you tonight. Boys and girls here, teenagers, men and women, doesn't matter what age bracket, doesn't matter what stage, doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter what your past. Well, the hymn writer said, he saw me ruined in the fall and loved me not, withstanding all. Groundless love. Boundless love. How great it is. You could never measure it. You could never tell it. Love that no tongue can teach. Love that no thought can reach. No love like his. The cross. Calvary. It expresses God's love. Love that is groundless. Love that is boundless. Like shoreless seas, thy love can know no bound. Thou lovest me, we sing. Love that is endless. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, the prophet said, Jeremiah. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. What a love tonight. Could I bring you to the cross? It exposes man's guilt. The preaching of the cross. It expresses God's love. It explains the way of salvation. Isn't that good? It explains the way of salvation. How do I get to heaven? Oh, the simplicity tonight of the reality. Because of the core of the cross. There's a little hymn that says, the way of the cross leads home. The story is often told of the little boy in the city of Glasgow in Scotland many years ago who stood beneath one of the old gas lightings on the street. And the little boy was distressed and crying. And a man found him and asked the little boy what was wrong. And of course, in his tears, he told the man how He had lost his way, but he said to the man, he said, if you take me to the cross, then I'll get home. And of course, he meant the famous Glasgow cross. And the little boy knew that if he could get to that spot, the cross, the famous Glasgow cross, that from there, he could find his way home. I think it's very true, isn't it, tonight? Take me to the cross. And I'll get home. You need to get to the cross tonight. Get to Calvary. To realize that there a Savior died. There he suffered on the cross. For me the sinner. For me the guilty. Take your place as a sinner before God. Realizing I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. But he died for me. Oh, the wonder of it tonight. It explains the way of salvation. Some years ago, in the north of Ireland, there was a young man who was really concerned about his soul and anxious to be saved and somewhat troubled, but he struggled with it. And he thought he would go away for a few days down to the south of Ireland and down to the west coast of Ireland and stay in a little place for a few days by the sea. So he did. He was staying in a little guest house on the west of Ireland. And the village where he stayed on the coast, there was a pool in the rocks, open pool, when the tide came in, there was a nice pool to swim in. There was a diving board at it. And so one night, kind of late on, thinking about these things, he took his towel and he liked to go for a swim. And he went down and onto the diving board, he left his clothes at the edge and he stepped forward just to dive into the pool and have a swim. And the moon was out and he was flexing his arms and he put his arms out. And before him, there was cast the shadow of a cross. And it just hit him. that Christ died for me upon a cross. And in simplicity, he just grasped it. And he was saved there and then. You know, he didn't go for a swim. He went back, put on his clothes, picked up the towel. You know, the amazing thing is this. As he walked around the edge, he looked in and discovered that the tide was out. He could have dived to his death. The cross that saved him. The cross. It explains the way of salvation. The hymn writer said, and we quote these words, the experience of the hymn writer, he said, I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. You know, I've referred to Spurgeon a time or two in these meetings. But you know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he died at 57. And when he came to the end of life, he said, my sermons have gone round the world at that time, and so they did. I've seen thousands saved. But he says, as I leave this world, he says, all that I have, he says, for heaven is this. I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Do you know tonight? Nothing more is required, and nothing less will do. The preaching of the cross exposes man's guilt, expresses God's love, explains the way of salvation. It excludes man's efforts totally. You know, tonight, people are not saved by moral works. Ceremonial works, religious works, or whatever other type you could add to the list. But people are saved by a work. A work. The work of Christ. Not by works. Paul says to Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. It excludes man's efforts. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, this evening, the best that you could ever do is but as filthy rags in comparison to the righteousness of God. They are absolutely useless and hopeless. For alone God accepts what his Son did, what his Son accomplished there at Calvary. It excludes man's efforts. Martin Luther, the great reformer, who was a monk for many years, he was so devout, he was so dedicated, he put himself through penance. He starved himself, but he couldn't get rid of the fact of sin. In fact, there were times, you know, that Martin Luther was so weak physically that he collapsed right beside his fellow monks. And at times they thought he was dead. He did everything. He tried everything to gain what he thought was favor and a place with God. You know the story. When in the city of Rome, and he was ascending those steps, and the mighty words that reached his heart, "The just shall live by faith." Faith in what Christ had done. And Martin Luther was wonderfully saved. And the great truth of the gospel, justification by faith alone, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. For by grace are you saved through faith. The cross, it excludes man's efforts. There's much more tonight, but let me say this. It extols the blood of Christ, the preaching of the cross. Oh, ye who one time were far off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's there again and again. It extols the blood of Christ. It exalts the person of Christ, the preaching of the cross. You know, the marvel is this tonight, that he got glory through the cross that he never had before. Redemptive glories that are his because of Calvary. What about the cross tonight as I close? There's one last thing. And it's very real. The preaching of the cross, it affects man's destiny forever. It affects man's destiny forever. What do I mean? Well, simply this tonight. There was a great sermon preached many years ago, and it was entitled "Heaven's Barricades on Hell's Broadway." That was some title. Heaven's Barricades on Hell's Broadway. And the preacher went on to describe, you know, barricades that people go over. The prayers of a Sunday school teacher, the prayers of parents, the preaching, the words that they have heard, the tracts that they've been given, and a whole host of things. Barricades. But the only real barricade to hell is the cross. Nothing else can save you and I from eternal ruin only in the cross of Christ. If you bypass the cross, if you miss the cross, you'll meet the judgment. Here it is. Like a beacon, it shines. Like a barricade, it is. I want to ask you tonight, are you going to go on? Are you going to push on down that road? Or are you going to come tonight as a sinner to the cross, repentant, broken? He died for me. I'm going to trust the man who died for me. That's it tonight. Oh, the wonder of a Savior who was there on the cross, who was in the tomb. God raised him, heaven received him. He's there tonight. I want to ask you tonight, boy or girl, man or woman, will you get to the cross? There's room at the cross for you. The old hymn says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Be a good thing tonight, would it not, just to get there and just to trust the Savior and what he did for you. Shall we pray?